WLAK Amory and 107.5 FM W298DK Amory, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Stephanie Officer. Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky tells ABC News the U.S. has diverted 20,000 anti-drone missiles to the Middle East. This as Ukraine endures the largest attacks from Russia since Moscow launched its invasion. ABC's Martha Raddatz.
Russia launching nearly 500 drones and missiles, the largest number of weapons fired during the entire three-year war, sending residents into bomb shelters. Video circulating online showing a Russian cruise missile streaking over western Ukraine. At least a dozen people injured in these attacks, one killed.
27 states and the District of Columbia have filed a lawsuit in bankruptcy court seeking to block 23andMe from selling personal genetic data without customer consent. The lawsuit comes as a biotech company seeks the court's approval to buy the struggling firm. 23andMe customers use a saliva-based DNA testing kit to learn about their ancestry. This is ABC News. With the economy's job-generating machine slowing to a crawl and unemployment claims on the rise, scammers are targeting victims with bogus job offers.
The shaky job market is rattling workers' nerves.
People are still trying to make sure they get the best job they can.
Alyssa Parker of the Better Business Bureau says scammers posing as recruiters for big-name companies are sending out thousands of text messages with phony job offers. Victims are then asked to pay an application or an onboarding fee.
Any legitimate employer is not going to make you pay to work for them.
The FBI says the average loss to job tech scams is $3,000. Jim Ryan, ABC News.
Soul music icon Sly Stone has died at the age of 82. Stone was the mastermind of Sly and the Family Stone, the influential act behind the 1968 album Dance to the Music. Sly and the Family Stone played at Woodstock in 1969. In a statement, his family said Sly passed away peacefully, surrounded by his family. I'm Stephanie Officer, ABC News.
Matt Nair on air.
State Representative Christian Phelps.
As somebody who's in my first term in the legislature, one of the striking things is how seldom the majority party speaks with us. I don't know how many of my colleagues personally feel LGBTQ people don't deserve freedom, but that's kind of irrelevant at the end of the day. They've already spent a number of days attacking trans people because those are days they don't have to spend defending their very unpopular economic agenda.
Matt Nair on air. Weekday mornings 9 to 11 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Matt Miller, Milwaukee-based film critic. The film Sinners, the more distance I have from it, the more I liked it. Is that an Oscar film?
I think there is a love for what Sinners is doing, that a studio movie was this interesting and creative and thoughtful, but also entertaining. This is not the last you will hear about Sinners this year. I'd be shocked if it doesn't get a Best Picture nomination.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
Brewers baseball tonight. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports, where the Brewers open a series against the Atlanta Braves in Milwaukee. The crew losing a close one yesterday, 1-0 to the San Diego Padres. Freddy Peralta allowed just one hit, no runs, through six innings, 90 pitches, and thought about going back out in the seventh.
For 1 second, I was thinking about it to come back, but same time, we took the decision that it was good enough for the day and just to bring somebody else.
So Rob Zastrzynski took over in the seventh, and Manny Machado knocked one out of the park on him. That was the ball game. Brewers manager Pat Murphy.
I mean, it was a decision that, you know, we had to talk to Freddie first, see how he felt. He was out of gas. Could we have pushed him into it? I'm sure he would have done it for us. But you don't do that this time of the year.
NFL. The Packers have decided to release defensive back Jair Alexander. The team asking Alexander to take a pay cut, in part because he's missed half the games the last two seasons. The defensive back was scheduled to make $17 million this season. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. Clouds will thin just a bit in the overnight. Light west and northwest winds and morning lows in the lower 50s. On Tuesday, sunshine but hazy, highs in the upper 70s. By Wednesday, though, looking for a few showers in the area. Currently 56 degrees.
Todd Alba.
Hey, everybody. Join us next time as we take a look at the fast-paced headlines across the nation and state. And a lighter note, Brian Van Hooker from Cracked.com will be here. Join us.
The Todd Alba Show, weekdays 2 to 4.
Mommy, can I sit in the front seat just this one time? Please, please, please.
No, not yet.
But why?
Because I love you, and you're just not ready yet. Now, get in the back so I can get you in your car seat, please.
Putting your kids in the right seat for their age and size is an act of love. Check that your kids are in the right seat at NHTSA.gov/the right seat. Love protects. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Amicus, a law review with Jim Santel.
The Trump administration arresting and deporting these supposed gang members without giving them due process is one of the steps to becoming an authoritarian government.
Dale, thank you so much for the call. And again, I second all of that. Bring them all back and afford them the due process that's a part of our nation, a part of this law, and a part of our tradition in administering justice.
Amicus, a law review with Jim Santel. Saturday mornings from 9 to 11. This is Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
Good morning and welcome. Welcome to Matinair on Air. Jane Matinair, Greg Bach, and Calvin Butenoff coming to you live from our studio here at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us, call or text. The number is the same, 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching in the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. We are joined by State Representative Christian Phelps is here. Good morning, Representative. Thank you so much for joining us. How are you?
Good morning. I'm great. Good to see all of you.
Good to see you as well. We wanted to talk about the equality agenda. Democrats in the state legislature, this from the Wisconsin Examiner, call for LGBTQ plus equality measures. So what are we talking about? What does this cover?
Yeah, it's basically an effort to take the month of June this year to not only, as we've done before, Governor Evers raised the pride flag in front of the Capitol, introduce a resolution proclaiming June as Pride Month in Wisconsin, but also to look at what that really means from a policy perspective. Our LGBTQ plus caucus in the legislature is more than twice as big as it was last session. I'm one of the new members. There are 12 of us now who are serving in the legislature as out LGBTQ plus people who stand for a pro LGBTQ freedom agenda. And so we believe our role is to outline the parts of Wisconsin law that need to be modified.
Nope, you just froze. We'll see if he comes back.
Technology is not our friend today.
It is not working in our favor today. There you are. Now you're back.
Welcome back.
Did you lose me?
Well, yeah, you froze for just a second there.
Okay. All right. Sorry. Well, So the equality agenda in this case also means things like repealing the still on the books constitutional ban on same-sex marriage in Wisconsin, which of course isn't in practice because the U.S. Supreme Court declared that marriage equality was, bans on same-sex marriage were unconstitutional in 2015, but we haven't removed that from our state constitution yet. And then more alarming things like the fact that we haven't banned so-called conversion therapy, which is a torture practice that basically sends people to so-called therapy measures in an effort to talk them out of their own identity, their sexual orientation or gender expression or gender identity. And the gay and trans panic laws that are still on the book, which basically say that if somebody is alarmed or scared that somebody is transgender or LGBTQ in any way, they could lash out violently at that person. It would be framed as self-defense. And so there are a lot of ways. And, earlier this year, we also introduced just updates to our non-discrimination laws to include gender identity and gender expression and things like non-discrimination on housing and employment. So there are a lot of very tangible ways that our laws are not up to date with how I think the average person in Wisconsin feels, which is that they know and love at least one LGBTQ person and they want the best for them. And this month, particularly this year, with the administration that we have in Washington trying to write some members of our community out of existence, it's very important that we not just celebrate our community, but recognize the ways that we need to modernize our policies to make it a more welcoming state.
And that's, you know, something we were talking about earlier before about attracting people to the state of Wisconsin. And I know that I've had conversations with some people who live in the surrounding states, and they say things about what, you know, the laws on the books regarding the community as well, and women who just also don't feel seen as people to have autonomy over their body. I mean, from a policy and campaigning standpoint, this is good for Wisconsin, and everything you've spoken about so far, Representative, has been very, seems, you know, we shouldn't have a law in the book that allow people to be violent towards people they perceive to be gay or lesbian or so. These seem like very measured points. What is the kickback? Is there any like blowback you're getting?
Who's
from
defending
people?
This?
Yeah, there you go.
Who's defending this?
Who doesn't think this is good for Wisconsin? And I'm not asking you to name names. I can guess, but I think that just that you know, the tut tut waving the hand. Well, the morality of it all. We've heard it 1,000 times when it's not the case.
Yeah, good question. You know, as somebody who's in my first term in the legislature, I will say that one of the striking things is how seldom the majority party speaks with us. they're kind of directed not to. There is appetite in Wisconsin communities for bipartisanship, but I don't feel that same appetite inside the Capitol, because the question is more about who's going to get credit for things than about what's the right thing to do. So I have not personally had conversations with my Republican colleagues about how they feel about these bills. But the pattern that I've seen play out is that there are always excuses to keep us from actually achieving, you know, justice in Wisconsin. And it's because their economic agenda is incredibly unpopular. And so they can only succeed politically if they are scapegoating and marginalizing groups of people, so that their constituents are focused on that instead of on the fact that they don't want to expand Badger Care, don't want to invest in public schools and other things that I know from living in West Central Wisconsin with many rural constituents are not popular on their merits. And so I don't know how many of my colleagues personally feel that LGBTQ people don't deserve freedom and don't deserve to have these laws modernized. But that's kind of irrelevant at the end of the day. Ultimately, they've already spent a number of taxpayer days in session this spring and winter attacking trans people. Mm. And it's because those are days they don't have to spend defending their very unpopular economic agenda.
That's such a good point. Yeah. It really is. Again, it's, let's pick the biggest distraction we can find and make people look over there so that you don't look over here for things that are really going to have much more direct impacts on your lives. When we're talking about economic things, when we're talking about healthcare, when we're talking about education, those are the things that really directly impact people.
Yes. And that's something that you mentioned just before about, you know, this is your first time. This is your first time serving in the assembly. You had to knock on doors. You had to talk to the people. I mean, not had to. But your goal is to talk to people, and you talk to rural. You talk to city. You talk to, you know, more affluent, less affluent, and there's all these shared values here in Wisconsin. And whether we're talking about access to abortion care, we're talking about education, we're talking about childcare, we're talking marijuana legalization, and the LGBTQIA community as well, it seems like these are things that Wisconsinites tend to agree with. But yet we have a, as Robin Voss puts it, a representative democracy in Madison that doesn't seem to agree with that. And what you, and I said before, these are measured points you're putting out there to grant freedom for all. And yet it's about scaremongering to say like, well, but to give their buddies tax cuts.
Yeah, no, exactly. I mean, I spoke with like 10,000 people at their doors last year. This is a competitive part of the state, and I had a competitive primary election and then a competitive general election. There were a lot of conversations to have. I come from the public education world. When I go into the rural parts of my district and knock on doors and say, I want to fight to keep your public school alive, mm-hmm. and I think you shouldn't have to go to referendum and raise your property taxes while Republicans in Madison have sat on a $4 billion surplus that they could have used to fund that public school, I don't really find a lot of people that disagree with that. But that's a conversation that the majority party has been trying to throw us off of having for over 15 years, because privatizing education in Wisconsin isn't something that's very easy to defend. And when I ask people what their main concerns are just recently, as a state rep, you know, I'm hearing that people are really, really worried about healthcare and about Medicaid cuts. That was the number one concern I heard last weekend when I talked to people. Almost nobody says that their number one concern is making sure that gay marriage stays illegal in Wisconsin.
I'm sorry to laugh at that. I'm imagining someone sitting at a picnic table actually saying that. Like, you know, I don't really care about the economy. It's those men marrying men. Yeah, my goodness.
If you're just joining us, Representative Christian Phelps is our guest. He is a Democrat from the Eau Claire area. I'm curious, Representative, what you heard when you went door to door, when you were running. Did you get a lot of pushback about the fact that you're gay? Did that even come up?
Almost never. I think this is very... I'll keep using the analogy to my education work because that's kind of my area of expertise. And we've talked about how Republicans have really used populations of people as scapegoats and trying to throw people off of the message that we really should be focused on. I've always been captivated by the fact that when you ask people how they feel about education as a whole versus their own local public school, their opinion changes quite a bit.
Yep.
And I think that's the case with LGBTQ people as well. Republicans have invested a lot of time and energy into villainizing education, villainizing educators. They've also spent a lot of time and energy villainizing LGBTQ people, and particularly transgender people. And so some of that works. Eventually, when you invest a lot of resources into trying to get people to feel the way you want them to feel, sometimes you're going to make some headway on that.
Yep.
But when you ask people, do you like the teachers at your kid's school? Mm-hmm. And do you like, your own niece who is transgender? Their opinion skyrockets. And so the blessing of being an assembly representative, where we each have about 60,000 constituents, and we really actually can build a meaningful relationship with a pretty big percentage of our constituents, is that we can kind of localize those messages and say, I'm fighting for economic justice. I think we shouldn't have a school lunch debt and children in poverty in our community. And I have an economic plan for you. And if you're worried about something like public education or LGBTQ issues, let's talk about what that means in our actual community. Do you care about your neighbors? Because generally people do.
Yep. And I find it fascinating. And we've talked to other folks who have said the same thing as you, Representative, as far as when you ask people about their own public school, we like our public schools. It's that one that's bad. It's that other school district that is bad, but not mine.
It's that other school district in the southeastern Wisconsin area that's right by the lake, that's so full of people that I don't even know. That's a terrible one. I was told that.
We're going to continue our conversation with Representative Christian Phelps on the other side. Stay close. You are listening to Matt Nair on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. We'll be right back.
And she starts to cry. She takes a swing, man. She can't hurt. She don't mean no harm. She just don't know what else to do about it. Jane said,
You're listening to Lake Air, WLAK, Amory's home for Nightlight with Pete Schwabe.
I'm still going for it, even with higher stroke risk from atrial fibrillation and a regular heartbeat not caused by a heart valve problem. Over a three-year study, Eliquis apixaban tablets reduced stroke risk better than warfarin, and over 97% of Eliquis patients did not experience a stroke. A first stroke occurred in 2.9% of warfarin patients versus 2.3% of Eliquis patients.
Don't stop taking prescription Eliquis without asking your doctor. It may increase your stroke risk. Eliquis can cause serious and, in rare cases, fatal bleeding. Don't take Eliquis if you have an artificial heart valve, abnormal bleeding, or antiphospholipid syndrome. While taking, you may bruise more easily or take longer for bleeding to stop. A spinal injection while on Eliquis increases risk of blood clots, which may cause paralysis, the inability to move. Get medical help right away for unexpected bleeding, unusual bruising, or tingling, numbness, or muscle weakness. Medications such as aspirin products, NSAIDs, SSRIs, SNRIs, and blood thinners may increase bleeding risk. Tell your doctor about all planned medical or dental procedures. Learn more at Eliquis.com or call 1-855-ELIQUIS.
Break yourself free from that desk and come work for Civic Media, a rapidly growing network which has positions open in Park Falls, Hayward, and Amory, Wisconsin that focus on prospecting and new account acquisitions. The ideal candidate will have prior media advertising sales experience and success, reliable transportation, and a connection to the communities in which they would sell. This position pays a base salary plus generous commissions and exceptional additional benefits. To see a full description, go to civicmedia.us and look at careers. Apply at civicmedia.us or send your resume directly to darla.isham@civicmedia.us. Civic Media is an equal opportunity employer that is committed to diversity and inclusion in the workplace.
Small businesses are the heart of America. As the nation's largest nonprofit resource of expert business mentoring, SCORE has helped millions of entrepreneurs build their businesses. For free, find a mentor today at score.org.
As Wisconsin has summer weekends being spent on the lake, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
Good morning and welcome back to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Box, Sweet Cal B on the board, coming to you from our studio at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us, call or text. The number is the same, 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. After the 10:30 news, a segment we call Audio Sorbet, a little chance for us all to take a breath and get away from the news and focus on something else for a little bit.
Whoa.
So we're going to be talking about the dumbest way you hurt yourself.
And I got a dumb one.
Oh, I think we all have one. What is the dumbest way you hurt yourself? That will be our audio sorbet after the 10:30 news. So stick around for that, and then we'll wrap up the show as we always do with This Shouldn't Be a Thing. Today, it is the Cornclave edition. There's a visual element I highly encourage you to stick around for. That's all coming up. Don't shake your head.
I'm whatever. You and your puns.
We're joined by Representative Christian Phelps is here representing Eau Claire, and we're talking about equity in Wisconsin and our LGBTQ plus population.
We were also, though, talking about education as well, and I think it was earlier this year, Assembly Speaker Voss went on Upfront and made a comment that they gave the greatest funding to education in a generation. He said it like three times in that interview. And I'm pretty sure, and correct me if I'm wrong, because you are an expert in this field. You talk about education a lot. It may have been a great injection, but it was also one of the first ones they actually had done. They were suffocating the education system here in Wisconsin. So I feel like, yeah, when you give $5 away, yeah, that you can say that's the greatest amount we've given away. But it's not like he quantified it. He just said the greatest in a generation. Can you talk more on that statement and what the reality was for the educational system here in Wisconsin?
Well, I'll give him a little bit of credit. There was something historic about the last budget. It was the largest ever and first standalone giveaway of public dollars to private voucher schools in Wisconsin history. That was certainly historic.
Yeah.
They are now receiving, in many cases, more dollars per student than many, many public school districts are in Wisconsin, even though they do not have to follow the same non-discrimination laws. They don't have to employ licensed teachers. They are not banned from instituting corporal punishment, and they don't even have to keep the students that they don't want. So there was something very historic about the deal that Robin Voss was able to strike with the governor to invest a historic amount of our tax dollars to unaccountable private schools.
Yep.
That was very historic. But to your point, yeah, I mean, if you rob somebody of everything they've got and then give them 10 bucks back like 15 years later, you can say, why aren't you grateful for these 10 bucks? But it's not that hard to see why they wouldn't be. The reality is that people can tell because hundreds of districts have had to go to referendums just in the past year.
Yes.
And those are operating referendums, which means like this referendum is to keep our lights on, our doors open, and our teachers employed. Nothing new, just to keep everything running. And then most of them pass, but people are going to run out of the ability to pass those eventually. We are paying our taxes twice. First, for the Republicans in Madison to sit on them and give them away to private schools, and then again through property taxes, through referendums, just to keep the lights on in our local public schools. That's not a fair or sustainable way to fund education. And this is a perfect example of something that they would rather not talk about while they are peddling anti-trans propaganda instead.
Yeah, it's a great distractor. It's a great look over here, be scared of this. Let's not look at what we're actually doing. And I think you said something so important, and that is my biggest gripe with charter schools and private schools, is there is no oversight body. They don't have to report to anybody. And as someone who comes from the education space, representative, how do they justify that? I'm genuinely curious on how they justify not having to be accountable for their curricula or anything like that, and yet they are getting public dollars.
Yeah, I mean, there's nothing wrong with having issues with your public school. In fact, I think the beauty of a public system with an accountable, locally elected school board with open meetings laws and taxpayer participation is that we are supposed to have critiques and issues with our public schools and then work on them together and get through them. But I think that if your goal is to privatize and profit off the system instead of to provide for every child in Wisconsin as our constitution requires and our moral compass requires, you see critiques and issues with public schools as an opportunity to say, instead of working on the public system together, we should go over here, hide the money, have a profit-based private system, and then invest a bunch of resources into kind of building a narrative around that. They call it school choice. I say, yeah, the schools do have a choice. They get to choose whether they want your kid or not.
Yeah.
And if they do, they can just kick them out. That's something a public system can't do. They get to choose if they want to listen to you or not. They don't have to hold an open meeting and tell taxpayers what they're doing. So it's a little bit of a misnomer when they call it that. I just call it privatization. But it's kind of two schools of thought. When you look at the state budget and you see how many state resources have to go towards education, I see that as our state having a responsibility to provide, as the state constitution requires, a fantastic public education to every young person in Wisconsin, no exceptions. But some people see that pie as a bunch of money that they should get their hands on. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of the fundamental difference between me and somebody like Robin Voss or billionaires.
What is that website that you've used?
Actually, from a group that Christian has worked with for a lot, the Wisconsin Education Network. There is a formula there that I will put in the show notes. You can see how much money is going from your taxes to private schools through the voucher system. And it's a lot if you're losing certain
areas. Lot more than you think. Representative
$700 million a year statewide.
Representative Christian Phelps has been our guest. Thank you so very much for joining us. We'd love to have you back.
Thanks so much for inviting me. Good to see you all.
You as well. News is coming up next, and then the dumbest way you've hurt yourself. That's Audio Sorbet. Stay with us. You're listening to Matt Nair on Air on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Lake Air, 1260 AM WLAK. Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
ABC News, I'm Stephanie Officer. Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky tells ABC News the U.S. has diverted 20,000 anti-drone missiles to the Middle East. This as Ukraine endures the largest attacks from Russia since Moscow launched its invasion. ABC's Martha Raddatz.
Russia launching nearly 500 drones and missiles, the largest number of weapons fired during the entire three-year war, sending residents into bomb shelters. Video circulating online showing a Russian cruise missile streaking over western Ukraine. At least a dozen people injured in these attacks, one killed.
27 states and the District of Columbia have filed a lawsuit in bankruptcy court seeking to block 23andMe from selling personal genetic data without customer consent. The lawsuit comes as a biotech company seeks the court's approval to buy the struggling firm. 23andMe customers use a saliva-based DNA testing kit to learn about their ancestry. This is ABC News.
Brewers baseball tonight. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports, where the Brewers open a series against the Atlanta Braves in Milwaukee. The crew losing a close one yesterday, 1-0 to the San Diego Padres. Freddy Peralta allowed just one hit, no runs, through six innings, 90 pitches, and thought about going back out in the seventh.
For 1 second, I was thinking about it to come back, but at the same time, we took the decision that it was good enough for the day and just to bring somebody else.
So Rob Zastrzynski took over in the seventh, and Manny Machado knocked one out of the park on him. That was the ball game. Brewers manager Pat Murphy.
I mean, it was a decision that, you know, we had to talk to Freddie first, see how he felt. He was out of gas. Could we have pushed him into it? I'm sure he would have done it for us. But you don't do that this time of the year.
NFL. The Packers have decided to release defensive back Jair Alexander. The team asking Alexander to take a pay cut, in part because he's missed half the games the last two seasons. The defensive back was scheduled to make $17 million this season. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. The 2025 Tonys are in the books, and the big winner from Sunday night's event was Maybe Happy Ending. The production, a love story about two abandoned robots, was named Best Musical and brought in six other awards as well. According to Variety, the play struggled to find an audience until the reviews came in. Similar to the moving picture box office, the theater industry seems to be back on track following the pandemic with $1.89 billion in ticket sales, which is a record. Brendan Jacobs Jenkins became only the third playwright to win Tonys in consecutive years with this year's Purpose, a hilarious look at a civil rights leader's dysfunctional family, which won Best Play. Other highlights from the evening include Succession's Sarah Snook, who was named Best Leading Actress in a play for the picture of Dorian Gray. And in sad Tony news that really isn't that sad, George Clooney was a bridesmaid for Best Performance by a leading actor in Good Night and Good Luck. Still nice to be nominated, or so I'm told. For more showbiz fun, tune into Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. Clouds will thin just a bit in the overnight. Light west and northwest winds at morning lows in the lower 50s. On Tuesday, sunshine but hazy, highs in the upper 70s. By Wednesday, though, looking for a few showers in the area. It's 57 at our studios.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Lily Roberts, she is from the Center for American Progress Action Fund.
They're trying to pretend that this bill would be good for the working class because of this really small carve-out to our tax laws. The no tax on tips piece does not at all even come close to addressing the problem of wages in this country. You know, a third of workers who work for tips in the first place don't make enough money to pay taxes at all.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekday afternoons 4 until 6 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. The Todd Allbaugh Show.
Positive psychology coach Kira Sabin, it is great to have you back.
I love the idea of self-help, but there's also something called community help. We have become so divided, we've forgotten that our neighbor is really nice and makes great cookies and probably yes. has the same concerns on a daily basis that you do. I think that we think things have changed, and I think we're just have stopped talking to each other.
Catch The Todd Allbaugh Show at its new time, weekdays 2 to 4 on Civic Media and the Civic Media app. Pat Kreitlow.
On Tuesday, Civic Media's Dan Schaefer from the recombobulation area on what Democrats are talking about ahead of next weekend's big state convention.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, weekdays 6 to 9.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
Good morning and welcome back to Matinair on Air. Jane Matinair, Greg Bach, and the Calvinator on the board coming to you from our studio at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us. Call or text. The number is the same, 855-752-4842. You can also leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Our thanks again to Representative Christian Phelps, who joined us in the first half hour of the hour. Great comments on the live stream about Representative Phelps, and hopefully we will be able to have him back. He was great.
Yeah. There's so many things we could talk to him about as well.
Absolutely. Right now, though, it is a portion of the program that we call Audio Sorbet.
The harps.
Where we like to lighten things up, take a break, walk away from the news just a little bit, and cleansing for your ear, as it were. And we were talking before we went on the air about silly, dumb ways you have hurt yourself. And I think we've all done one or two or five dumbest ways you have hurt yourself. 855-752-4842. That's 855-75-CIVIC. You can leave a comment on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Who wants to start?
I'm going to start with a woman named Gail who emailed us in at Jane's. You can email this, Jane says, at civicmedia.us, but use a different email. Point is, stupidest way I hurt myself.
Yeah.
Drinking and dancing to Love Shack at a wedding, I broke my wrist.
Ooh.
Then surgery with metal plate inserted.
Ooh.
Fallout on hand, stretched hand. Is it a real medical term? Oh, I see what you're saying. Yeah, foolish fallout on the hand. Lesson, no more drinking and dancing. One or the other, not both.
Not
when
both.
You're over 60 postmenopausal. Gail from New Berlin. Look, I don't like the idea that you hurt yourself. I want everyone to be safe. But if you're going to hurt yourself,
that's one way to do it.
Drinking and dancing to the B-52s, that's a wonderful story.
It's worse ways.
Exactly.
855-752-4842. Dumbest way you have hurt yourself. I have to try and narrow it down to one.
Yeah.
Ollie from the Northwoods is on the line. Good morning, Ollie. Thanks for joining us. How did you hurt yourself?
Well, I don't think I can beat that other lady.
Give it a shot.
That was wonderful. Well, when we were kids, we used to play a lot in the woods behind our army barracks, and there was a tree, and we all decided that we were going to play Tarzan out of that tree.
Uh-oh.
And apparently, I wasn't very good at it, and fell out and cut my leg clear down to the bone, and they had to run home and get my mom, and she wasn't very happy about it.
Isn't that interesting? That's so funny, Ollie, because that is parenting from when we got parented.
Yeah.
There was no, oh, Ollie, are you okay? It's like, no, you idiot. You fell out of the tree. Look what you did.
That's right.
Right? Where is your sympathy? Where's the, oh, my baby, you hurt yourself? It's like, no, you were stupid.
I was talking to your Aunt Carol, and now I got to come take care of you. My goodness.
Yeah.
And now all the, like, it's in my head that compartmentalized to not just the dumbest ways I've hurt myself, but the different ways. So like, oh, you know, lawn accident. Oh, bike accident. Oh, this, like, there's so many different.
We've all done it.
Yeah,
we've all done it. Yeah. Thank you, Ollie. Appreciate it. Dumbest way you have hurt yourself at 855-752-4842. Nancy on WAUK texted in earlier. Nancy from Illinois, trying to get a piece of cement out from under the soil in my backyard. The cement won.
Alicia on the live stream says, dumbest way I hurt myself. Stepped out of a FedEx truck onto a curb and spraining my foot.
Just stepping out.
It's those things, you know. I got a cement story. I'll tell that in a moment. But it's the ones that where you're just trying to live.
Yeah,
I'm not
doing anything
I'm
special.
I'm not jumping out of a plane. I'm not trying to run a 100-yard dash or even trying to get cement out of my backyard. Sometimes, like one time I was laying in bed, and as you lay in bed and you're like, oh, I got a stretch. I got a big stretch coming out. It's one of those stretches where it's full body, like the whole thing. And like, I just stretched so hard that something in my back just pulls. That's how I got sent home from work that day. I was in bed. I stretched so hard. I pulled something in my back. I walked into work. I could barely walk. They said, just go home.
You're useless.
I wasn't trying to do manual labor. I was just trying to wake up, and I hurt myself. Welcome to your 40s.
Oh, just wait. It gets better. 855-752-4842. Our question today on Audio Sorbet is the dumbest way you have hurt yourself. Whistler from Richland Center is on the line. Good morning, Whistler. What you want to share with us?
Well, this is kind of strange, but it happened. Taking a nap one afternoon. And, well, I dream a lot. And I guess I got a little rambunctious and started reacting and threw myself off the couch, hit the coffee table, and cut my knee open.
Oh!
Whoa.
Oh.
So you're having a really active dream and you fall off the couch and hit the coffee table and rip out your knee.
Yep.
Ow.
And then when you went to the doctor, wasn't it embarrassing when you went to the doctor because you have to explain to him how you hurt yourself?
Well, I wasn't so bad that I had to go to the doctor. What was bad is that my granddaughter was sitting in the chair next to the coffee table I hit.
Oh, you must have scared her to half to death.
Just watching you.
Oh, my gosh. Well, thank you very much, Whistler. That's awesome, Whistler. We appreciate the call. Cassandra on the live stream says, bending over to pick up a wheelchair pedal strained my back. Yeah.
Sometimes, just bending over.
Sometimes you're just trying to lift people, and your body's like, oh, no, I'm going to make this one hurt.
What is the dumbest way you have hurt yourself? 855-752-4842. Sarah in Green Bay listening on WGBW. I won $5,500 on a dive bar slot machine.
Dang.
My sister and I were kind of hopping up and down celebrating, and I heard a pop. My knee gave out. I tore my ACL, having to be off of work for 3 months. So there went my profit from the win.
Look at this. Liz from Saukville. Another blew out my ACL on my left leg while moshing at a party at my mom and dad's house. My God. Well, I mean, I can get that. Moshing it pretty
that intense. Can happen.
But
that
yeah. So I'll tell my cement story real quick.
Sure.
I used to work my senior year for a summer. I worked for a guy who did tile work. And we'd go all over the region to do jobs. And one day we just had to do a quick cover up, quick patch job. And he said, all right, and I used to mix the concrete.
Okay.
And I usually mix it in a barrel, in a wheelbarrow. But this time it was a small thing. So he said, just take that bucket, mix it in. And so I had this bucket in my arm, and like you're holding, and I'm mixing it with a trowel
right.
real quick, you know, just mix. And all of a sudden it just came, and I threw concrete into my eye. That is the first step. I had to put everything down. It immediately started burning.
Oh, God.
And I don't even remember if I told my boss, but I had to like wipe all the concrete out of my eye and like really.
So before it hardens.
Well, Jane, don't get ahead of me here because I thought I got everything out. I went to a concert with my cousin and I slept over at their house that night. When I woke up, I'm not kidding you. My eyelids were sealed shut.
Oh God.
My left eyelid was sealed shut with tiny specks of concrete in there. And it was, my aunt had to like literally pull them apart. Like had to like. Take a walk.
Pry them open.
It was one of the most terrifying things. But just, I remember whipping that concrete in my eye going, yeah, of course this happened.
Naturally.
This is my fault. I know it's my fault.
Dumbest way you have hurt yourself at 855-752-4842. Lori from St. Croix Falls is on the line. Good morning, Lori. What did you want to share with us?
Good morning. My manager at the restaurant had to believe my concussion story, because I called and told her I got a concussion by hitting my back of my head on the underside of a doorknob.
And how did underside. You do that?
blow drying my hair, getting ready. I had my hair flipped over, and with great force, I flipped my hair back, and the bathroom door had blown shut. And I literally, as hard as I could, hit my head on the underside of a doorknob, causing a concussion.
Oh.
And I loved my job. I wanted to go to work. I made great money at the restaurant.
Yeah.
But definitely believe that for creativity.
Oh, that's a good one, Lori. That's a first. I don't think I've ever heard that one before.
Lori, when you got done blow drying your hair and you were just ready to do that flip, do you do that thing with all people like myself with long hair do when you do that flip? You're like, I'm in a commercial for shampoo. So you're like almost, you're like, oh, but instead you're like, ow.
It was bad. Back at my days at the University of Minnesota, I had to go to health services.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, gosh. I'm glad you're okay, Lori. That's hilarious. Yeah. Thank you for sharing that. Dumbest way you have hurt yourself, 855-752-4842. Andrew from Maine, listening on WAUK. My littlest sister is a preteen, was spinning in circles in the living room, bounced her hand up the back of the couch, and broke her arm or hand. It was many years ago. Mom was stepping down the steps of our motorhome, slipped and broke her foot. Myself broke 3 bones in my foot when I fell out of a tree while playing frisbee while at college.
Andrew, can I give a piece of advice to your family? Just sit down more.
Cotton. Oh. Pack yourself in cotton.
My mother has fallen down more steps than I care to admit to. And they're not like, she's not falling down grand staircases. It's like my sister's house where there are 5 steps.
And you trip.
Yeah. It's just slip on that carpet and whoop-app, whoop-app, whoop-app. And yeah, it's
855-752-4842. Dumbest way you have hurt yourself. Something you'd like to share.
I want to share what John from Oshkosh just shared listening on WISS. I shot myself in the nose with a nail gun. Oh. First time building a deck. Luckily, it was only a ricochet. For a second, I thought the nail went up my nose. May I suggest you were using the nail gun incorrectly then? Because I don't generally put nail guns close to my face.
Wow.
Yeah.
You were lucky, John.
Oh, my gosh.
That could have gone.
That makes my sinuses hurt.
That could have gone badly.
Yeah.
Mine was, and I remembered from one of the comments that we took. I was at Summerfest.
Oh, boy.
There was drinking involved.
Yeah.
And I was table dancing to Brian Setzer Orchestra.
Okay.
Great, great show. It was a great show. I was having a wonderful time on top of the picnic table. Drinking at Summerfest, and I fell off the table and landed on the seat of the picnic table. And I was in so much pain. I went to the doctor the next day because I couldn't breathe.
Yeah.
Because every time you breathe in, it hurts. It was not my regular doctor. It was a really, really cute male doctor.
Well, at least you know you could party.
Yeah. And he asked me, and I'm older than him. And he's like, and how did you do this? I was table dancing at Summerfest, and I would off.
Jane Emmanuel Marie Matinair. I would have looked him dead in the eyes. Goes, I was dancing to big band orchestra right there, and I'll do it again if I had to.
That was really good.
That was from like last year too.
Yeah, yes, last year. It's like you should have seen my moves. You would have been impressed. He was not impressed.
No.
He's not impressed by that. Thank you, everyone, for taking part. We will always will take more if
yes,
you want
please.
To join us at 855-752-4842. Silly ways you have hurt yourself. Calvin, anything you want to share with us? Anything you want to get off your chest before we go to break?
Well, when I was, my brother played baseball in middle school. He had one of those things that you threw a ball against it and would send it back to you to catch. And I got too close and hit myself in the face with a baseball one time.
All right, that's all we need. When we return, this shouldn't be a thing. Stay close. You're listening to Matt Nair on air. This is The Civic.
Reach, engage, grow with Civic Media. Log on civicmedia.us/advertise.
It's the Eco Minute, powered by Clean Wisconsin, your environmental voice since 1970. I'm Amy Berrio. June is pollinator month, and some Wisconsin lawmakers have introduced a package of bills to protect our bees, butterflies, and other insects. The bills would prevent the DNR from using a class of pesticides called neonicotinoids, which are known to harm pollinators. It would also prevent retailers from labeling plants as pollinator-friendly if they've been treated with high levels of pesticides. Great Lakes fisheries could struggle under budget cuts. President Trump is pushing Congress to eliminate the entire biological research program at the U.S. Geological Survey. The ecosystem mission area monitors and conducts research on fish and wildlife populations in the Great Lakes and beyond. If passed, federal wildlife and fisheries research centers across Wisconsin would be shuttered. Knowledge is power. For a deep dive into environmental issues across the state, check out my Defender podcast at cleanwisconsin.org or wherever you get your podcasts.
Skilled trade workers are the backbone of every community and also the Army National Guard. Soldiers train to keep the power flowing, engines running, and in every other trade needed to accomplish the mission. These soldiers are on the fast track to learning skills that can set them up for success at home with companies looking to hire the best. Their resumes are being built through their paid training and part-time service. Find out how you too can learn a trade profession by visiting NationalGuard.com. Sponsored by the Wisconsin Army National Guard. Aired by the Wisconsin Broadcasters Association and this station.
Here's the deal. We gotta set ourselves up. See, retirement is the long game. We gotta make moves and make them early. Set up goals. Don't worry about a setback. Just save up and stack up to reach them. Let's put ourselves in the right position. Pre-game to greater things.
Start building your retirement plan at thisispretirement.org. Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
Matt and Air on Air.
Congressman Mark Pocan is here. Are you planning on going out on the road again, having a couple more town halls?
Yes. No, Claire, Derek and I have been invited by Opportunity Wisconsin, so I'm really looking forward to debating Derek. My guess is it's more likely I will sprout a head full of hair than he will show up. This is important to let people know what's in this bill, because there is a very good reason why Republicans are hiding from town halls.
Catch Matt and Air on Air at its new time, weekday mornings 9 to 11 on Civic Media and the Civic Media app. Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
The soap scientists have found a way to incorporate Sydney Sweeney's actual bathwater into the soap. What if she doesn't smell good? I know she's beautiful.
What if it smells terrible?
What if she stinks? And no one is going to tell her that because she's Sydney Sweeney. Here's an open invitation to Sydney Sweeney. Come by the Nightlight Studios. I'll smell you and let you know if this is a good product.
Maybe drop off, you know.
And give us a few bucks. Yeah.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Rebuilding and refreshing local radio one station at a time. This Civic Media radio station is proud to be a part of your community. Learn more at civicmedia.us.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
Welcome back to Matt and Air on Air. Jane Matt and Air, Greg Bach, the Board Lord, coming to you live from our studio at Radio Park in Racine. You can join us. Call or text at 855-752-4842. Leave a comment on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Week two of our statewide text to win Scotty Summer Contest after 11 o'clock. With Tom Hartman. Be listening for us.
Us, me and you.
Yes, listen for us to give you a keyword that you want to text in via the Civic Media app that will get you in the running either for $100 or a pair of great Milwaukee Brewers club level tickets. And then you're in the running for the grand prize, a getaway to either Door County or Baraboo. And we give you gas to get there.
Why does the gas portion make me so happy?
It makes you very happy. Yeah. I know it does.
It's like if someone said, here's a car. It's also the taxes are paid for.
It's an extra kiss.
Yes.
It's just a little extra kiss.
Hey, you want a vacation also? Gas money.
There you go. So be listening. After 11 o'clock, you have four chances every day through Friday of this week in the 7, 11, 2 o'clock with Todd, 4 o'clock with Maggie. Mm-hmm. Listen for your chances coming up after the 11 o'clock news here on Civic Media, our statewide Scotty Summer Text to Win contest. Coming up tomorrow, Todd Alba, our friend and colleague, that's will right. be joining us after 9:30 to break down all the news. Right now, though, Calvin, it is 10:54. That means it's time for...
This Shouldn't Be a Thing.
As always, if you have a thing you think should not be, send it in to Greg and me at janesays@civicmedia.us. Janesays, Jane says, @civicmedia.us. This is from the Associated Press. The headline, and there's no byline. Interesting.
No one wanted to admit.
No one wants to take credit for this one. The byline, the headline reads, a quirky vegetable sculpture contest features a squash Donald Trump and a papal cornclave. Vegetable likenesses of Donald Trump and singer Dolly Parton, along with a papal cornclave, went on display over the weekend at the Lambeth County Show, held every year in London's Rockwell Park. The two-day show features sheep shearing, livestock competitions, food, music, and a vegetable sculpture contest, which has attracted national renown.
So London has their own state fair?
It's kind of bringing, yeah, it's kind of bringing the state fair into London. This year, several sculptures reference the recent papal election or a movie, yeah, conclave, including one featuring cardinals made of corn titled Cornclave.
I think that
you gotta love that.
I do.
How can you not love that?
And the picture is fantastic because it's historically accurate. I mean, it's like a little Sistine Chapel corn.
Oh, nice.
I don't know. I'm making that part up.
Other entries included a rap trio in potato form called Collie Parton. They were made out of cauliflower.
Thank you. Thank you for that. I appreciate you.
Collie Parton in a movie-inspired tableau titled Nine to Chive.
This is where you live. I mean, this is where you're just so happy.
I know. I love this. A vegetable Mo salad, which is a likeness of a Liverpool soccer star called Mohamed Salah. They also used Wallace and Gromit. Wallace and Gromit, yeah, the famous icons, out of butternut squash. Donald Trump also got the butternut squash treatment. Local authorities have turned to holding large concerts and festivals in local parks as a way to raise money.
That's great.
Not everybody's excited about this. One guy is like, not in my backyard. It sounds like fun.
Quit being that guy.
That right?
Guy.
That, like, one poop?
Yeah. As Mrs. McCarthy said in class, in choir, when you weren't singing on key, like, you are the poop in our warm, frothy milk.
Would she say that?
She would say that. And it's a weird, but you never forgot it. And you did. And the visual is visceral. So you're like, I don't want to be that.
No one wants to be that.
Come on, man. It's probably one weekend.
Yeah, it's 2 days.
It's Saturday.
It's 2 days. County Fair regular Maddie Luxton says every year, this is what we get so excited about. It's the vegetable sculptures. It's so unique and so witty. And we love the political ones and the puns. We love the vegetable puns.
I mean, with the butternut squash, you didn't have to do anything with Donald Trump. It's perfectly the same color as his skin. It's
just
great.
It just works. Yep.
Perfect.
And as Tony says in the live stream, nine to chive. You got to love it. What's not to love? That wraps up today's episode of
This Shouldn't Be a Thing.
And again, don't forget the keyword for our statewide Text to Win Scotty Summer Contest is coming up. In just a little bit, be listening for Greg and I to give you that keyword to text in, playing for either $100 cash or a pair of Brewers Club level tickets. And then everyone who enters, whether you win or not, will be in the running for the grand prize, a getaway to either Door County or Baraboo.
And I was shaking my head, because I'm always in disbelief. It's just how wonderful the club level seats are. They're comfy. They're cushy.
They're cushy.
It's a private entrance, basically.
Easy access to bathrooms for some people. That's an important thing. Just keep that in mind. But that's coming up after 11 o'clock. And again, Todd Allbaugh will be joining us tomorrow morning. He will have his show. Join him today, 2 to 4 p.m. Maggie Dawn, 4 to 6. And Pete Schwabba, 6 to 8 p.m. Keep it right here. News coming up. Thank you, Greg and Calvin and all of our engineers. Without you, nothing works. And thank you most of all for calling and for texting and for listening. It does mean the world. I hope you find some joy today and you get the chance to share it. Keep it right here on the Civic Media Radio Network. We'll see you tomorrow.
listening to Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK Amory and 107.5 FM W298DK Amory. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Stephanie Officer. A man convicted of raping and killing a woman 3 decades ago after kidnapping her from a supermarket parking lot in Florida is scheduled to be executed Tuesday. 54-year-old Anthony Wainwright is scheduled to receive a lethal injection at Florida State Prison. He was convicted in the April 1994 killing of 23-year-old Carmen Gayhart, a mother of two young children in Lake City. D.C. leaders say they are coordinating closely with the Secret Service for the U.S. Army Grand Military Parade Saturday. It's a busy summer for the nation's capital. During a news conference Monday, Mayor Muriel Bowser said the city has Pride, the military parade, and the 4th of July all just weeks apart.
Our public safety agencies are going to be called on for lots of work, lots of hours, and we're asking for everybody to heed their advice. Everybody to follow their instructions.
This is ABC News.